The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49-plus. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow!
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship-winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stolen.
Welcome to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. Puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Week one is in the books. We got a pretty good slate of games in week two here, Jake. NFL season starts tonight as well, which everybody's really excited about. Full go Sunday and into Monday Night Football. So football season is officially here. How are you, brother?
Dude, doing great. It is game week for us.
Yeah.
Pumped. Just got done with a great day of practice. But man, also looking forward to a great slate of college football games on Saturday. So ready to go, ready to rock and roll.
No doubt. I see you rocking that new Georgia hoodie. Now, I follow Georgia's equipment staff on Instagram and social media. It seemed like all the NFL dogs got their little care package this week, and it looked pretty stout. I mean, way back in the day when I was in the league, the goodie box was not as good as what y'all just got.
Dude, honestly, I am so hurt that you beat me to the plug, man. I want to shout my boys out, tell them thank you. And, man, to be honest, man, the gear's pretty sweet.
Sick.
Always good. Got a great, clear, just – like piece, you know, of Natty, national champions. And, man, it's pretty cool stuff. It's something to be able to tout and kind of show off a little bit in the locker room, as you know.
No question. No better time to be a Bulldog in an NFL locker room right now. So good on you. Absolutely. And it looks solid too. I mean, that's how I beat you to the plug, because you're looking crisp. You're looking swagged out in your new Georgia gear. This episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code PUNT, P-U-N-T, PUNT, and you get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. And ding, 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 DB's three-piece hit last weekend. Starting on Friday night, E.J. Smith got in the end zone. Devin Leary eclipsed his total passing yards. And Caleb Williams, who we're about to talk about, he took care of business and had four total touchdowns. I think I might be going back to the well on that one. No better time to be on Prize Picks than during football season. Tonight, you got the Chiefs, you got the Lions. NFL kickoff this weekend, they've got even newer stats that you can put an entry on. College football, DB's three-piece, coming up later on in the show. It's a skill-based fantasy game. It's the best as daily fantasy goes. Make your entry this weekend. Make it a DB three-piece. Let's go back-to-back. Download the Prize Picks app, prizepicks.com. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. We are in the green, rocking and rolling right here on Punt and Pass. Check them out on social media at Prize Picks as well. All right, Jake, you know how we do it when we're in season. We start with a little three and out, three of the biggest news and storylines across college football heading into the weekend action. And we'll stick to the quarterback position here in first down for three and out. we just said Caleb Williams off to a hot start. He is the defending Heisman Trophy winner, but his dad making a lot of headlines, speaking to GQ magazine of all publications, saying, quote, "It's not a lock that Caleb will be in next year's NFL draft." He goes on to talk about how important it is for the success of a quarterback in the NFL to be with a franchise that has its stuff together. And he points towards Eli Manning. And if anybody else knows, John Elway did the same thing as well. You know, I could go both ways here, Jake. It's an interesting quote for his dad to say. I wonder if it'll actually come true. It's a new era of college football. You and I talk about it a lot with NIL. There's just a lot more at these guys' fingertips that could make them rethink possibly being the number one overall pick in the draft.
You know, it's one thing to talk it. It's another thing to actually do it. But like yourself, I can also see both sides of it. I mean, on one hand, to me, it's a huge honor to be the number one pick in a draft. And, you know, and it's maybe a little conceited to say already, too, that he's the number one pick as well. You know, there's still a lot of ball left to play. Now, I definitely do think it's Caleb and Drake May and then everybody else. I think those two guys are the dudes. But we saw some great quarterback play on Saturday in college football. So there's a lot of guys in the mix and the shuffle trying to improve their stock and trying to have a great season. So, but, you know, with the NIL stuff, there's a lot of money to be made in college football. There's a lot of reasons to come back. But then also, too, on the flip side of things, it's if he's going to be as good as everybody thinks he is, it's kind of a race to the second contract because that is where
you bring up a fantastic point
is at. I mean, you get to that second contract. Hey man, you can go do what you want to do, this and that, the glam. You have arrived on a whole new level, you know, financially when you get to that second contract.
There's no doubt. And that's a tweet that I saw today. Pretty much just said exactly what you did. Hey, I get it. Yeah, of course, the situation might not be the best, and you might want to come back to school, and your NIL income might be that significant that you could sit there and say, okay, I'll take out a loss of value insurance policy. I'll take out a disability policy. I will protect myself as much as I can, hoping that I get another bite at the apple for a franchise that I would much rather want to play for. However, delaying that extra year of getting to your second contract can absolutely pale in comparison to what you might be making in the short term. And when you're talking about 5 years down the line, Jake, I mean, it's crazy to think that quarterbacks could be making in the NFL $70 million a year. And that's the type of situation that Caleb Williams could put himself in getting to that second contract faster. I do want to bring up one other point, okay? And I believe it's the 2017 NFL draft. I'm trying to pull it up right now to make sure that I have the right draft class on my mind. Being a top pick at quarterback is no guarantee that you're going to be good, regardless of the franchise that you go to. Or you could look at it and say, well, it's exactly the situation because the quarterbacks that have gone to these franchises, maybe they're not the best franchises that you'd want to go to. But I do believe it's the 2017 NFL draft. I'd like to run down these quarterbacks that were picked at the top of the draft, okay? I'm going. Here we go. Number two overall, Mitchell Trubisky. Great guy. He played UNC. He went to the Chicago Bears. You can make that argument. The Bears, I don't know. He hasn't really panned out. He's a backup in Pittsburgh. He has had a good career sticking around. I mean, I'll never, ever play
down anybody's career. See, that's the thing, because me and you know, like, yeah. Hey, man, that's super respectable. That's a great career, you know, but on the flip side of things, for a second overall pick, that's where the argument is that you didn't reach
the potential. And here's what makes it worse. The 10th overall pick was Patrick Mahomes, who's the best quarterback in the NFL. The 12th overall pick was Deshaun Watson, who obviously you know really well, Jake, and who's from Georgia as well. But then, you know, you have third-round quarterbacks, fourth-round quarterbacks who are now bona fide starters making a ton of great money. My whole point is this. No guarantee, regardless of the franchise that you go to, that you're going to pan out and be amazing. I would just, if I was his advisor, I'd say get to that second contract as quick as you possibly can.
I'm with you. It makes sense. I mean, the only thing that the argument they're trying to make his dad is it's about situation. Yeah. And it is. It really is. But if you're going to be that good, and you're going to be a game changer and a difference maker, and you're going to be worth that kind of money, I mean, odds are that it shouldn't matter, and you're going to be a game changer and a difference maker for that franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not knocking on him either way. And like you said, it's one thing to talk the talk. It's another to see if he's going to walk the walk. But what the Cardinals are doing, who you're about to face off against, it's interesting because we'll see how their season pans out. It's never as it seems in the NFL.
Well, I'll end with this.
Please.
It's early.
You think? It's early. A lot can happen. A lot can happen. Great perspective. It is early. The season hasn't even started yet. And we'll see what Caleb Williams does. I mean, I hope he balls out again. And that would be awesome to have him in that type of position. All right, let's go to second down. Ryan McGee from ESPN, he put out a tweet, which I had to scratch my head. I had to look into it. I was like, there is absolutely no way, just from the statistical possibility, that this actually happened in week one of college football. Jake, were you aware that every football team, college football team in the state of South Carolina lost in week one? Yeah, we know Clemson got whooped up by Duke. Yeah, we saw South Carolina lose to North Carolina in the Duke's Mayo kickoff game. Do you want me to run down every other college football team that lost in the state of South Carolina?
I think you have to.
Okay. Clemson, South Carolina, North Greenville, Wofford, the Citadel, Coastal Carolina. South Carolina State is 0-2, so they have yet to win. Presbyterian College and Erskine College. He goes on to say the last time the state of South Carolina had a weekend this bad was because of Sherman. That is a deep cut right there. Ryan McGee simply saying South Carolina, bad opening weekend of college football, throws in a little Civil War reference as well. I just couldn't believe that. That is incredible for that to happen in week one as well, Jake. I would think there's probably a little bit of an overreaction on the Clemson stuff. I would think South Carolina is going to bounce back as well. A lot of talent there. It's quick. Everybody's quick to overreact after week one.
Everybody loves to, right? I mean, I think Clemson's in the ACC, so I think they should be kind of fine and will be able to find their footing and their schedule. But I do want to look through South Carolina's schedule here. They play Furman next week. Obviously should take care of business there. They play the Dogs.
So at least a South Carolina team is going to win next week with Furman and South Carolina facing
off. That's true. I mean, Mississippi State, I mean, looks like to be a good football team this year. That's no gimme. Played Tennessee. Tennessee, you know, played really well. Florida, you know, who knows there? Missouri actually looked really, really good. They played Texas A&M, who's a good football team on the West. Jacksonville State, Kentucky, Vandy, and then they finished with Clemson. So, I mean, I think they got a fight. I mean, to win seven games this year, and it's gonna be tough.
It is tough, and it is every week. What kind of? I mean, did you ever lose a game that early in your college career? I don't think you did. Did you?
No.
I can speak from experience way back to 2010. I mean, we started off that season 1-4, dude. Like that was, you want to talk about urgency. You want to talk about seniors stepping up saying like, save our season. You want to talk about Coach Richt and the noise and people are going, what's the issue at Georgia? When you start off a season 1-4, I don't care where it is. It's a mentality that sets into that locker room. After week one, there's a sense of urgency everywhere. You don't think Kirby and the Georgia Bulldogs coaching staff has laid into their players after the sluggish start against UT Martin? There's just, you find out who you are. We put up a great clip of you talking on the podcast earlier this week, Jake, about how it doesn't matter how good you're supposed to be. You're going to find out what you got once you get on the field, it does take time. And yes, you might have to play against a great opponent in week one to find out. You might have to play against a lesser opponent and see who can do it in between the lines. But for teams like South Carolina and Clemson, it's not over. It's early, as you just said. I mean, as boring as that sounds and as cliche as it is, there's so much football left. LSU lost last year in week one and in a horrible fashion, and they made it to the SEC championship game. So just everybody pumped the brakes. I know that's not what you want to hear, but it's just the reality of the situation.
I mean, I think it's just coming from two guys who have been there and been in a locker room, who knows how to handle things. You can't ever get too high. You can't ever get too low. You got to trust the process you do week in and week out. And you just got to hope it takes care of itself, man, on Saturday or Sunday. Right. Yeah, and that's the only thing we can do is just be consistent and, you know, try to change little things at a time and show up and make a few plays.
I mean, how true is that? It's a cliche business term. It's cliche in sports, but you can never let the highs get too high and you cannot let the lows get too low. It's just true. If you believe it, you can actually implement it. One way that my former long snapper with the Arizona Cardinals taught us, his name is Mike Leach. He played in the league for like 700 years. He's a great guy. He always told me there's a fine line between caring too much and not giving a shit. He was like, just find that fine line. You know, you can't get too excited or too anxious, and you can't be too lackadaisical. You got to be right there. You got to be taking care of your business and nice and even keeled. So I would send that note to Clemson and Dabo Swinney and to South Carolina and Shane Beamer heading into week three. All right, let's go third down. And this is one that's just going to kind of tee us up for a little week two preview after I give you the DB3 piece in our prize pick segment. I'm just amazed. I guess amazed might be the wrong word, Jake, but in what was billed the game of the year by most, Alabama, Texas, in Tuscaloosa, prime time, top 10 matchup, has taken a backseat to Deion Sanders and Coach Prime. I mean, Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes, now ranked 22nd in the AP poll, they have dominated the news headlines, and everybody will be tuned in to Nebraska at Colorado noon on Saturday. That's crazy to me. It is amazing. After the game, I thought Colorado's athletic director was like, almost on the verge of tears, crying, hugging Deion Sanders. Thank you so much for this win. I went and got the money. I got you. I put my ass on the line. Thank you, Deion. That's what it seemed like, at least to me.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge. They made a statement coming out hot, coming out early. And that's just the Coach Prime effect. I mean, that's what they brought him in for, to change the program around, to change the culture. Even though I'm pretty sure he said he doesn't believe in culture. But I mean, he's changing things, and he's getting all the cameras and all the fingers pointed that way. And man, they're going to come out swinging. That's what they're going to do. And they got a big one, another test coming up. But man, that's just Coach Prime. That's just who he is.
Talk to me about a big time home atmosphere. You know, Fox Big Noon Kickoff will be there, so there'll be a lot of production. You have to do a ton of interviews during the week. The student body's fired up. Does it make a difference in your preparation? I know you've been through a lot of weeks like that. And I will say, Colorado has not been through those types of weeks at all. Would that go into your projection a little bit to say, you know what, this moment could be a little bit too big for Colorado?
See, this is tough because I said last week that I am on the Deion I believe train. You know, I don't want to get called out by Deion for not believing.
Yeah, we can't have that.
Can't have that, right? But like you mentioned, there's a lot of and to me, I think everything has changed for the Colorado football team because now the expectation is there. You know, before, hey, we want to be great. We want to be great. Eventually, we're going to be great. But when you come out and you show that kind of product on the field, hey, everybody's going to be asking for that week in and week out. And I think it's a lot on his son, the quarterback. Because, I mean, to be able to match that kind of game week in and week out, it's going to be tough. I mean, because that was an incredible performance. And everybody's going to be expecting that, you know. And now we got two, you know, Heisman Trophy watch guys on the same football team. And then how can Travis Hunter be able to play 100-something snaps week in and week out and not fall apart by week 7 or 8?
I mean, look at us. We're not even talking about Alabama hosting Texas. We're so focused on Colorado. It's just the Deion effect. Like, I – am on the radio in Atlanta a couple times a week, 92.9 The Game, the Steakhouse. I was on the radio and I said, if I was Georgia Tech in Atlanta, I would put together some money and I'd go after Deion. Deion would thrive in a city like Atlanta. The recruiting that he could take advantage of, the noise that he could make. I don't care what the academic culture is, if you want to call it that. We all know Georgia Tech is a superior academic institution and extremely rigorous with their classes. But I thought Deion would have crushed it at Georgia Tech. And now you see what he's doing at Colorado, getting all those kids in and out. Like, could you imagine if that was happening in a place like Atlanta? I'm not taking anything away from Boulder, yeah. Colorado.
No, I agree with you 100% with everything you just said. The location, the culture, for him being able to recruit guys. Georgia's such a
he played for the Braves and the Falcons.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like that. If there's a home for Deion, like that's the home for Deion. So, like I was all in on it too, because I would love to see the rivalry of Tech and the Dogs kind of come back a little bit more than it has been in the past years.
Did you know that Deion Sanders brought the chop to the Atlanta Braves? Did you know that? That's a fact. He played college at Florida State. That is what they do at Florida State, the Seminoles. Yep. Oh, yep. He brought that to Atlanta. That's a fact. Look it up, people. That's your punt and pass fact of the week right there. Okay, we'll get in to the game. Alabama and Texas, what could have a ton of college football playoff implications later on in the season in just a little bit. Deion Sanders, Colorado Buffaloes dominating punt and pass week two right here. But before we get to that, I got to see if I can go back to back on my DB3 piece from Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. PrizePicks.com at Prize Picks on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, buddy, we went 3 for 3 a week ago. You cash, if you tail, let's see if we can do it once again. I'm heading out west once again for my first leg. DJ Uiagalelei, he had a huge performance for the Oregon State Beavers last Sunday against San Jose State. I think they come back to the well. I think they're going to let this guy keep airing it out. His projection right now at Prize Picks is 225.5 passing yards. I think he will get more than that. Hey, a guy that you and I just talked about, his name's Travis Hunter. He ain't coming off the field. He's from my backyard, Collins Hill High School, Gwinnett County stand up. He's certainly a Heisman Trophy candidate at this point. Prize Picks right now has his receiving yards set at 73.5. He's going over that for sure. Travis Hunter, more than 73.5 receiving yards. And I'm going to go to a guy who I think needs to have a big week. This team is playing a lesser opponent. Reports are that the quarterback battle is still not set. Somebody that Georgia fans are very familiar with, Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State. They're taking on Youngstown State this weekend. We're going all air attack on the DB3 piece at Prize Picks in week two. He will get more than 78.5 receiving yards. So there you go, people. We're running it back to back, the DB3 piece for week two on Prize Picks. DJU, more than 225.5 passing yards for Oregon State. Travis Hunter, more than 73.5 receiving yards for Colorado. And Marvin Harrison Jr., more than 78.5 receiving yards for Ohio State. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to $100 at Prize Picks on Twitter and Instagram. Feel pretty good about that.
Dude, I like it. I think something that would be kind of cool. Gosh, I gotta be careful the way I word this, but Travis Hunter, instead of receiving yards or something like that, total snaps.
Ooh, yeah. I wonder if they could do that on Prize Picks. We'll have to put a note in to our boys over there, because they have so many other statistics that you can go more or less on. That could be interesting for a guy like Travis Hunter with what he's doing on the field. Very interesting.
It sounds like its own section for Colorado football.
There you go. I like that. I like that for sure. All right, let's get into the week two preview. We've talked about this enough. Now I just have to know who you think is going to win the game. Nebraska at number 22, Colorado. This game's at noon on Fox. Colorado now a 3-point favorite. People, a week and a half ago, they were an 8.5-point underdog. I don't care if you follow that type of stuff or not. That's almost unheard of what has happened. Swinging it all the way through. Now, Colorado is a home favorite. I don't know, dude. I was so wrong on this game a week ago. Everybody is going to be on Colorado. It makes me kind of want to take Nebraska. I can just maybe be wrong on this all season long because I don't know if I'll ever get to really understand if I can pick Colorado in the right spots.
This one's tough for me too because Nebraska just lost a tight one last week.
They are snake bitten in one score games.
Man, Coach Rule wants to win his first game as a head coach there at Nebraska. So he's going to come out guns a-blazing. You know, if Colorado came out swinging in week one, like how hard are they swinging in week two? Because they got a hit on this one, right?
Yeah.
They got to be, but you got to come back and back this up. So
how do you, as Nebraska's defense, with Shedeur Sanders throwing for 510 yards last week and Travis Hunter being a baller and four guys having over 100 receiving yards, do you rush heavy to start the game? Do you sit back and see if you can get pressure with three or four? Like, what's the mindset of Shedeur going into this game?
Yeah, from a defensive perspective, it'd be, as a D coordinator, it'd be so much easier if it was just all Travis Hunter and say, hey, we're going to cloud or we're going to follow this guy the whole game. We're not going to let this guy beat us. But, dude, like you said, they had four guys over 100 yards.
Yeah.
So it's everybody's game. Everybody's out having that game. So really it comes all down to Shedeur. And I think you gotta mix and match. You got to heat him up a little bit to get him uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden drop eight and then rush three. And he's going to feel like he's going to have to get rid of the ball a little bit earlier than he has to, just because you're playing with how the pocket feels the whole game. So it's going to be interesting to see their plan because they got to come up with something.
Yeah, I got to go to Nebraska here. Coach Rule, he wants that first win. No better place to do it than at Colorado in a huge spot. This game is going to be so highly rated and watched. I just think he's going to get his first win. I don't know. It's so hard to come back from that type of high that Colorado was just on. So I'll go Nebraska.
Well, I'm on the Believe team, so.
All right. Yeah, you said it. You don't want Dion coming after team. You. All right. I like it. Let's touch on this Ball State-Georgia game. Ball State at number one, Georgia, 12 Eastern on SEC Network. Georgia, a 42.5-point favorite. We saw a lot of these last year. The total is 52. I will note, the Kent State running back who torched Georgia last year, I think he had the most individual rushing yards against the Dogs all season long. He's now at Ball State, okay?
Oh.
So he's going to get another crack at the Dogs. I also think, I don't know if I said this on Tuesday's podcast or not, Kent State's head coach, who Georgia beat 39-22 at home a year ago, the head coach a year ago is now the offensive coordinator for Prime at Colorado. Think about that recruiting. Deion Sanders got a FBS head coach and said, come be my offensive coordinator. The guy was like, okay, I'll come do it. So that's how you see what he was able to dial up for Shedeur Sanders and those guys. And he hung 22 on Georgia last year, which not many people did at all. Kirby doesn't like to run it up. I think it'd be, I don't know if Ball State's going to score. It's going to be very similar to what you saw this past weekend. But Jake, you said it. You just got to be a little bit more crisp. You got to be a little bit more on it at the start of the game. And I think Bobo will show a little bit more personality with the play calling.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they're going to want to come out guns a-blazing on offense, making sure they're firing and hitting on all cylinders, getting the ball where it needs to, when it needs to. I think they're going to, like, the whole emphasis on this one to me would just be, hey, we want to start fast as an offense. Completely flip the script of what happened last week, where they're scoring all the points in the second half. And especially being at noon, it's just going to be in their heads all week. Wake up, start fast, wake up, start fast, wake up and start fast. So I actually do kind of see them as an offense and Bobo. I do see them scoring a lot of points in this game.
How do you start fast? First 15, what are we doing? Is it play action out of the gates? Is it five wide shotgun, which is what they opened up in last week, if I'm not mistaken?
It just kind of depends on you know what they're seeing from them, but those first 15 plays are always so important. But they going, you mentioned play action pass. They did a lot more of that in the second half of the game last week and had a lot of success with it, hitting some deep crosses and stuff. So I would not be surprised if you see a lot of those things show up. And then maybe some screens too, had some success, popped a big one in the second half of last week's game too. So they're gonna whatever it is, they're gonna try to be more explosive and hit some bigger shots.
Yeah, I agree. I'm interested to watch it. I mean, those first 15 is really all I need to see. I want to see what's going on.
I want to see how the ones, the first team offense, the offensive line, and Carson too. How do you respond after your, you know, eye-opening experience last week? How do you respond? And let's get a fix.
Yeah, as Kirby Smart said, quote, "No one says you have to be the best in week one, but I'm sure he wants to see some improvement in week two." So we're both on the dogs there. A game I do just want to touch on real quick. We're not going to break it down, but number 10 Notre Dame takes on NC State. This game's also at noon. It's on ABC. Notre Dame's a 7.5-point favorite. If you haven't been following, they've played two lesser opponents, Navy and Dublin, week zero. Last week they hosted Tennessee State. Sam Hartman putting up some huge numbers. He will be in the Heisman conversation later on in the season. However, he transferred from Wake Forest. He has a lot of familiarity with these ACC teams. Last year, Wake Forest went to NC State. Sam Hartman threw three interceptions. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wake Forest lost that game. So NC State has something on Sam Hartman. Keep your eyes peeled on that one. Could Dave Doran and that NC State defense dial something up to confuse Notre Dame and Sam Hartman? An interesting matchup for sure. Anything there? I mean, if you're at a new school and you went to a team, Jake, in a stadium where you didn't play well a year ago, is it in the back of your mind?
Yeah, for me, I'm all on Sam Hartman here. If that happened to me, all I would want to do would just be respond and just absolutely kick their tails.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with my new boys. We're a new team. I'm a new guy. This is a new day. You ain't getting me today. So I like Notre Dame big time in this one.
All right, number 23, Texas A&M is heading down to South Beach, Coral Gables, to take on Miami, 3:30 ABC. A&M's a 4.5-point favorite here. This is going to be your real first chance to see Bobby Petrino as the play caller at Texas A&M. Tons of expectation for the Aggies this year, where Jimbo Fisher made a lot of changes. Remember, they were really banged up a year ago. Miami needs this one as well. It's be an interesting game, you know, in that time slot. Miami took care of business against Miami of Ohio last week, but I don't know, Jake, what are you thinking here?
I'm more curious about the atmosphere for this game, because I saw a picture of Miami and Miami of Ohio playing and there was nobody there.
Oh, they're trying to give tickets away for free down there.
It just doesn't feel like the buzz is down there in Miami like it was early in Crystal Ball's kind of tenure there. So I don't know. If Texas A&M is going to finally be what Texas A&M should be,
got to win these games.
They got to win these games. So I like Texas A&M this one. But I definitely think it's going to be a fight like it was last year.
The favorite has won and covered all three meetings in Texas A&M, Miami, Florida since 2007. Jimbo Fisher is 8-1 versus Miami as a head coach going back to his days at Florida State. There you go. Thank you, Phil Steele, for that little nugget right there. Man, I like Texas A&M too. I like Texas A&M as well. Here's a game where everybody needs to check out. Number 20, Ole Miss, on the road at number 24, Tulane, 3:30 p.m., ESPN2. Ole Miss is a 7.5-point favorite. Watch out, Tulane. A year ago, they upset USC. They are not unfamiliar with playing big-time programs. Willie Fritz decided to stay down there in NOLA. I don't know. I think Ole Miss just runs it up. I mean, I think Ole Miss's defense can at least get a few stops if it does turn into a shootout, to where they should be able to take care of business and win by more than a touchdown.
I'm still confused. When I saw it, you know, Mississippi at Tulane.
Just thought
it was a typo. Like, why on earth is Ole Miss going to play at Tulane?
Hey, it's the Cotton Bowl champs. What are you talking about?
I mean, we got to put some respect on that name, because that kind of shocked me a little bit. I mean, this is a Saturday at 3:30 game as well. I mean, this is a big football game. Watch out, Ole Miss. Do not go down there sleeping, because you may come out with your tail tucked between your legs.
Ole Miss lost their last road game versus an AAC school in 2019 when they fell to Memphis 15-10. Look at me. I'm full of the statistics
dude,
today.
Yeah, you're coming in hot with these.
It's
today,
Phil
man.
Steele. I mean, I got to give him credit. Phil Steele. But, you know, these matchups, like Ole Miss at Tulane, you got to look for something. This is their road opener. Ole Miss whooped up on Mercer at home a week ago. But this is not a spot for Tulane to come sneak up on Ole Miss. I mean, you saw what they did. They're probably going to be watching a lot of that tape from the Cotton Bowl a year ago. So I'll take Ole Miss here, kind of, I guess. That's just where I feel. I think Lane Kiffin's kind of got the boys playing pretty good ball down there in Oxford. So I'll go with Ole Miss. All right. I mean, go ahead, please. What do you like?
No, I mean, they're only 7.5. I mean, I just, this whole situation is just bizarre to me.
That it is.
The scheduling, the time, points, all that. But
yeah.
They better go down there focused.
Yeah, don't sleep on Ole Miss. You're exactly right. You know, like if it was 27.5 and Tulane wasn't really that good, or the opportunity for them to sneak up on this, that's not happening this weekend. Okay, let's talk about game of the
year.
Number 11, Texas, heading to Tuscaloosa to take on the third-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide, 7 p.m., ESPN, College Game Day will be on site. It will be an unbelievable atmosphere in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Alabama's a 7-point favorite. The total's 53.5. Instant classic a year ago. Nick Saban against Steve Sarkisian. Quinn Ewers against Jalen Milroe. This is a huge spot for Texas, Jake. Huge spot for Texas.
Huge spot, man. They were so close to getting it done last year. To me, I don't see the mindset of Alabama. Knowing you played in I think you can call it this, an almost an embarrassing kind of game against Texas. I mean, Texas is a great football program. Don't get me wrong, good team, but the Alabama football team of last year was a really, really good football team who just missed out on a great opportunity to end up in the College Football Playoff. So, I think they're going to take that to heart, and I think they're going to come out big time and want to hang up some numbers on these guys because they just couldn't get it going offensively last year. They had a lot of penalties. They didn't play clean. It didn't look like a good product, and they're going to change that this year.
Being at home in this spot is so key. I thought Jalen Milroe looked fantastic last week in his debut as the starter. I know he got some playing time last year and started a few games when Bryce Young went down. But I talked about this with John Parker Wilson, okay? And John Parker, who just ended 5 years as the color analyst for Alabama Radio Network, he said, hey, I really like what I've seen from Tommy Rees. You know, he's like, I've been out to practice. Guys love him. The players are energized by him. He relates really well to him. And in the media, all you were hearing was quarterback uncertainty, a new offensive coordinator. How's it going to work? And I looked at John Parker and I said, you know what? I've been following college football for about 10 years now. If I know one thing, it's that Nick Saban doesn't really know what he's doing, right? It's like, obviously, he did his diligence when he hired Tommy Rees. Obviously, he made the decision and said, this guy will fit well with the players that I have at our disposal. And I thought he took advantage of Jalen Milroe's skill set in a great fashion against Middle Tennessee State, who's not necessarily a cupcake to the likes of a UT Martin. Now, this is a different beast, and we all know Nick Saban's record against his former assistants. We also know the revenge factor. Nick Saban loves an opportunity to kind of improve on maybe what had happened a year ago. And I can't remember the last time Alabama lost a meaningful game at home. I mean, had probably an LSU team, right? Would that ring a bell? Maybe Ole Miss?
LSU or Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Had to be, right?
I mean, it couldn't be Johnny Manziel back in like 2014. I mean, it could be, but I think it would maybe the Joe Burrow game, Ole Miss. I don't know. My point is it does not happen often. And when you talk about walking into a lion's den, brother, this is it. Like, I don't know what else you want. Tuscaloosa College Game Day, 7 p.m. They want revenge, even though they won the game a year ago. Here's what I'm getting at. I like Alabama so much in this game that I'll probably take 7 points with Texas. I mean, maybe it'll be a close game. I like them so much that I'm starting to feel uncomfortable about it. You ever get that feeling?
I'm with you on that. I feel super comfortable with Alabama. I do. I just, Texas started very slow last week, very lethargic on offense. Very kind of similar to Georgia, just, you know, was right there, but something was just a little bit off on offense. And they better figure it out in a hurry on Saturday. It's going to be loud. Alabama has a great atmosphere. And then to me, Jalen Milroe, what he can also do with his legs as well. He was the leading rusher.
Dude, running hard.
So if anything breaks down, anything happens, he'll be able to move the chains for the Crimson Tide. So
I've got a statistic for you.
I knew you were.
Last 10 years, how many games has Alabama lost at home?
10 years?
10 years, dating back to 2013.
Four.
They are 66-2 at home. They lost one game in 2015. I believe that's the Johnny Manziel year. And then they lost one game in 2019, which I believe is the LSU. Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
There you go.
When was the Ole Miss deal?
That must have been 2012. Or was the 2013 game 2015? No, dude, that's got to be 2015. Alabama's got to be Johnny. Yeah.
Yeah. Dang. I thought they lost twice to Ole Miss.
They did, Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it right now. 2015 football schedule, University of Alabama. Just to confirm. Yeah.
Got to.
Oh, no. Jake Fromm. Loss. Ole Miss. 37-43. So that game they lost to Manziel was in College Station.
Okay. All right.
So 2015 was the Ole Miss game you're talking about.
I knew there was an Ole Miss game in there. I knew it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think this is going to be a great game. Wouldn't be surprised if Alabama gets out to a big lead and then maybe Quinn Ewers and Steve Sarkisian relax a little bit, get to open up the playbook, maybe throw a couple of deep balls, work their way back into a game, maybe backdoor cover. But I'll take the 7 with Texas. I hope it's a close game. It's going to be game day. Should be a great environment. Should be a cool one.
Yeah, I think so. Completely agree. But I like Bama on this one.
All right, man. Well, week 2 on deck. I'm fired up. Washington Commanders taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Week 1 of NFL football will be at your disposal as well. Fall is here, people. And you're locked in to Punt and Pass to make sure that you are dialed up to be the most knowledgeable. We brought a lot to you in this week 2 episode of Punt and Pass. So you guys can chirp at the tailgate and say, I know more than you do because I listen to Punt and Pass. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake, puntandpass.com, and download the Prize Picks app. This episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. I gave you my DB3 piece earlier in the episode. It hit last week as well. NFL, college football, Major League Baseball. Prize Picks is the best skill-based daily fantasy game in the market. Use the promo code PUNT, 100% deposit match up to $100. Anything on the way out, my man?
Dude, man, I think we nailed it tonight.
I think so too. A+ for Jake. I'll give myself a B+. Okay. gotta show a little modesty.
I don't know, man. You're coming in hot.
We're back with the statistics. Absolutely. All right, everybody, have a great weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday. See ya.
We out.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.